B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I would say Kawhi and Kyrie are the two guys. One of those two.
Kawhi looks like he's heading for the Clippers, but Kyrie Magic?
That's what people say, but listen, I'm going to tell you something. Once you get in that room and you got LeBron sitting there, see, everything changes. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think he's – people have been saying that, but I think that he's going to look and go to the place that he has the best chance of winning a championship.
Yeah, you think, but you also still – will recruit for the Lakers, won't you?
Listen, man, if they call me, I'm a Laker, man. If they call me.
You saw that video.
I'm going. Man,
we already know they're going to call you because we saw you out to dinner with Dina.
What is he?
That is Magic on ESPN yesterday.
Not going to help the Lakers, but man, wait till LeBron gets in that room. He gets every. Really? He couldn't pull together.
Does LeBron still have that sort of yank?
Doesn't seem like it.
And what we care about most is Kyrie. And is he going to go crawling back to daddy like that 2 years later?
Like Windhorse again with another report.
Is that really what he's going to do?
Kyrie is still open about being more and more open about considering the Lakers.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to this. But just the fact that Magic is saying this, when I hear Magic talk about anything, I feel like Magic is talking out of his ass 99.999% of the time.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
He's just like having a good time and he loves to talk and
Magic.
Chat and, like, it's all just a good time to him.
Yeah.
He strikes me as a fun guy. He's probably a blast to hang out with. Right?
Sure he is.
Likes to shoot the breeze and just sort of, you know, off the cuff and whatever. Like, come on, Kawhi and Kyrie. Like, oh yeah, those guys are in on the Lakers. they love the Lakers. Uh-huh. The Lakers are a freaking mess right now. He left them. It's a disaster between everything that went on with Rob Pelinka and, you know, Jeannie Buss and what's the structure there and the coaching search and how that played out. And it's a bit of a disaster. And the fact that, oh, Magic convinced LeBron, like, remember, showed up at the house and waited in the driveway. How long did he wait in the driveway last year?
Until 12:01 or
right?
something.
Right. How long was he in the driveway for, sitting in the limo before?
LeBron made him wait. That's right.
Right. Yeah, remember that? He waited in the driveway for hours before he could, you know, talk to LeBron. And he really, you know, we all assumed it was a done deal that LeBron had decided long in advance that he was going to the Lakers. And that was, you know, decided years in advance, never mind months or days in advance. And then we heard that story that he needed to be sold on it by Magic about how basketball-wise it was going to play out and how they were going to build around LeBron and how it was Magic who sealed the deal and sold him on the vision of how they would build the team around LeBron. And so he put LeBron at ease about how they were going to build that team. And less than a year later, Magic's out the door because he can't go to the movies on Friday nights with his wife?
No, I think it's because of this. He can't tamper. Now he can't. He's not. He can't be charged for tampering. Now he can go out there and say this stuff on TV and not get charged or fined or anything for this stuff.
Jim, I was kidding. I know he didn't actually quit because he couldn't go to the movies on Friday nights.
No, but I think that's
part
of it.
Publicly, he's saying
that's part of it.
But publicly, it's so.
He can help the Lakers more in this position than he could actually being the head of the president.
No,
he's not.
He's acting on behalf of the Lakers.
He could be a recruiting coordinator now instead of the boss. Yeah, no, I'm with Jim on this.
He's a figurehead. He's a face. He's not an actual president.
He's Dan Marino.
He was not cut out for the job.
Thank you.
It was a real job.
That's it.
It was an actual job. He had to do work.
He didn't want to work.
A real job.
He didn't want that job.
And I love Magic. Love Magic. He wasn't cut out for this. He didn't want this because, like you said, A, it's a real job, and B, it required a lot of work and a lot of commitment, a lot of study.
I'm
being as nice as I can with this
because
he's a smart business guy, but when it comes to the actual like chess match of like trying to get deals done and move players around and stuff, I don't think he's equipped.
He likes to be involved in a bunch of different things and have his. You know,
he likes to be Magic.
That's what he's great at doing. He's awesome. He likes to be involved in six different things, not be singularly committed to one singular job that completely consumes him.
I don't think
he's not best suited for that.
Right. I don't think it requires a tremendous amount of business acumen to have a bunch of money and then get asked to buy into Starbucks and you do it and you make a bunch of money. I mean, But, you know, where's the real thought process there other than, oh, I've got that. Is Starbucks good? Okay, I'll buy it, and it pans right out.
I think he's not a detail-oriented guy. He's not going to get... bound up with that stuff.
We're dancing around it, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another way of saying it. His movie theater thing, though, got to admit, his idea, his movie theaters did really well.
Yeah. What do you mean his idea?
I'm sure he was designing a lot boardrooms. Yeah.
No, he's the closer. No. He's the guy that comes in and gets the deal done at the very end.
Read up on him in the movie theaters that he ended up selling off and made a boatload.
Well, he does it. He does like to go to the movies.
He admitted
himself.
He's
a big movie guy.
Again, everybody else does all the deal, and he comes in at the end, and she smiles, and he shakes hands, and he gets the deal finalized.
Again, so when he talks, I think he's a salesman, and he's full of crap.
It's like his Laker.
He's a sales guy. He's full of crap.
His Dodger ownership.
We got a whole pit full of sales guys out there here at 98.5. They're all full of crap. They're all full of it. All lying. I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
You're all lying.
617-359-ADAM.
Sell ice to the Eskimos out there. Anyway.
I sell you a popsicle, a guy in white gloves, or ketchup popsicle.
That's good. Good job.
Get a good look at a bull's ass.
Good job.
No, wait.
Stick it.
Good job.
Yeah.
You're on Team Kyrie. You should be upset that Magic, this is in effect tampering because he still says I'm a Laker.
I don't know.
I'm with him. It's 95% BS.
Stop.
It comes
it's all
out.
BS.
You know what? You want Magic?
Do I know it's BS?
You don't think the Lakers' plan is to go after Kawhi and Kyrie?
No, I think they're going to try.
You know what?
But I don't think Kyrie wants the Lakers.
I think Magic was happier that day because he was on ESPN than he was about talking about the Lakers.
Of the two, who do you think's more likely to want the Lakers, Kawhi or Kyrie?
Kawhi.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would completely agree with that.
Kawhi's going west, correct?
Here's a LeBron PR guy and ESPN reporter, Brian Windhorst, who is Team LeBron, talking on ESPN yesterday about where things are at and about guy. I know.
I saw it on the...
You have to tell Dan Shaughnessy what you're doing.
Dan, so, you know, when Saturday Night Live was good back in the heyday. You remember Church Lady, right?
Yeah.
Special. Well, remember Pat?
I do.
He says that Pat is Brian Windhorst. That Windhorst is Pat.
It's not terrible.
Yes.
That's what he says.
He's gonna go Lakers now.
It's not bad.
So, here's Windhorst saying that Kyrie has started to open himself up to the idea of joining the Lakers.
We heard Magic say, Brian, that the Lakers' top free agent target should be Kyrie and Kawhi. What are the chances, let's focus on the Kyrie, of a Kyrie-LeBron reunion?
Yeah, if you'd asked me 6 months ago, Sage, I'd have said the door was closed and locked. That was not going to happen. But over the last few months, there has no doubt been a thawing between Kyrie and LeBron, and Kyrie has become to be more open to joining the Lakers and has done some research on the organization. That said, with Magic leaving, that was a guy that he felt a connection to, and with the great opportunities in Brooklyn and in New York, plus Boston trying to keep him, I think the Lakers are lower on his list, but they're on his list, and that gives them a fighting chance. Boston has got to still be worried about the Lakers and the Kyrie pursuit.
No, stop it. No, they don't.
I think dream scenario for Kyrie is to go to the Knicks with Durant.
They've got to be worried about New York. Yeah. They don't have to be worried about LA.
I think plan B and a fallback for him as a consolation is stay in Boston, sign, make more money. Maybe you won't be as marketable here as you would in New York. Can't do as many things off the court, obviously. And then you get Anthony Davis. Danny would have to get Anthony first, though. Then I would sign my extension, and boom, I would make more money in Boston. I think he knows he's already got that in the bag. Now, can I get him? Can I convince KD to go to the Knicks or
Brooklyn? The way you painted that, you're saying Anthony Davis would come here, not knowing if Kyrie's going to be here. Being traded, but
part of the spin out of there once they got the number one overall pick, and you know they're getting Zion, was that he's not changing his mind.
Danny's going to figure out a way to have all those parties in agreement ahead of time.
But I think Wick, you're frustrated because Wick didn't give any anything on Kyrie, but Wick played it smart last week with Felger Mass.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I don't want to drive his value up. Yeah, if he's here, I'll put him with the rest of the
But that's all going to be done in one motion, which is that Kyrie stays and you trade for Davis. Yeah. One won't happen without the other knowing it.
Plus, we've got to address one part of this after the action update, and it's this. Play it again, Jim.
Kyrie has become to be more open to joining the Lakers and has done some research on the organization.
Research? He's doing research? What kind of research?
Well, he had that book on the earth.
Why don't we talk about that?
Why are they called Lakers?
Action update right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Kyrie has become to be more open to joining the Lakers and has done some research on the organization.
Hey, everybody. Here's some fun facts. The population in Thailand is 63 million people. It is twice the size of Wyoming. Its chief exports are textiles, footwear, and rice. Each year, approximately 13,000 people are killed in car accidents in Thailand.
Do you think Kyrie Irving is preparing a similar report on the LA Lakers?
What's the name of the rice that they feed children and old people?
Salk?
Salk?
What?
It's like a mushed rice that he told Stu, you're my son-in-law, you are bland. Like vanilla, like we call Kaufman white bread. There's a name from the movie The Hangover that he had a fight with Stu while Alan was standing there giving him all the updates.
I don't remember that.
Joke. That's right. You are joke. Not a joke, but it is a mushy rice substance that baby and old people eat with no taste. You eat that. You are joke, Stu.
Hey, everybody. Here's some fun facts.
I love that guy. That dude. Hey, Stu.
He's doing research.
He loves Phil.
Kyrie is currently researching the Lakers, according to Brian Windhorst.
He's got a 3-ring binder.
He's doing research.
Doesn't he play that game that his likeness and that is saved as a purple and yellow jumpsuit on him?
He made himself a Laker.
I forget the name. It's a video game. Yeah. He made himself a Laker in his likeness. Yes.
Yeah.
So he must have done some of the research there on colors. Why are they purple and yellow?
Yep. He's read like the, Wikipedia page on the Lakers.
And Hardy said this jokingly, but do you know why they're the Lakers? So?
I don't.
You really don't?
I don't know.
They
moved from Minnesota.
They were Minneapolis.
Wow. Land of 1,000 lakes.
Land of 10,000 lakes.
They just took the name with them.
Yeah, it makes as much sense as the Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz. It's one of those.
Pointless. Yeah. Just kept the name.
Pretty good.
Stupid. Absolutely stupid. Right?
And it's 10,000 lakes. It's right there on the license plate.
Not a stupid question. Why is New Orleans and New Orleans Pelicans? Why are they the Pelicans?
I assume they have Pelicans there.
Pelicans. Yes. The Pelican
brief. It's more of a Florida bird, right?
No, the Pelican Florida brief.
Indigenous to Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've spent some time in Louisiana. I never saw any pelicans flying around.
Yeah, but you're in
a lot of time in the bayou.
I see them all the time down in
Spent
Florida.
A lot of time out there on a...
Any sharks?
Florida, you go outside, they're standing in your yard. There's a pelican right there.
Spent a lot of time out there on the fan boats,
Why is San Jose taking, the sharks?
Checking out the wildlife?
I watch the show that they catch gators on. What the hell's the name
of it? Do they spend a lot of time on the birds while they're out there catching gators?
Never see pelicans.
Never see them.
State bird of Louisiana, the pelican.
It is. Jesus.
There you go.
Who would have known?
Hold on. I've got a great pelican drop I want to play for you guys. Hold on.
I don't know that you should do that. Howard is in Randolph with a question for Dan Shaughnessy on the Celtics. Hi, Howard.
Hi, guys. Hi, Dan. How you doing?
Hey, hi.
Quick question. It's two parts. Part one, do you think Brad Stevens is the coach for this team going forward? And number two, if he isn't the coach, do you think they would do well by bringing back Tom Thibodeau?
Well, I think Stevens is the coach moving forward, and I think Tibbs' time has come and gone.
Thank you.
I don't think he gets a shot. No.
Oh, another happy customer.
I mean, Tibbs, he was disappointing in Minnesota.
Satisfied. Please come again.
Yeah, Tibbs, he didn't really – his star fell when he became a head coach.
He was here not long ago, right?
Yeah, he was an assistant here when they were good.
No. I don't mean working here. He had visited here not long ago.
Oh, I don't know.
Seems like he was in town for something.
Yeah, he was sort of making the rounds, visiting teams.
Did anybody see Walton last night on the end of the Portland bench?
I saw him wearing a ridiculous tie-dye T-shirt. He was with Bob Weir. Bob Weir, who keeps showing up everywhere.
Yeah, come to your house. Yeah, play. But so Walton,
I don't think you can get Bob Weir to come to your house and play.
Well, if Bill Walton's with him, he will.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and Bill Walton would probably come to your
house. If it's Bill Walton's house, he'd probably show up at Bill Walton's house.
I always wonder what Walton thinks with all this stuff with Luke Walton and Magic. And
whatever, Jerry Garcia would have thought.
All the things that went down. You know, he must have a lot of opinions. Love to hear him. Because he's an opinionated guy, and the way the Laker thing went down with Luke Walton. And don't forget, Luke Walton coached those Warriors to like 33 and...
Oh, yeah, I don't think Bill would give you anything. I don't know.
I don't know, but
he's got too many bridges doing that.
Got to be thinking a lot, and he's so part of the culture. But it was just weird to see him like basically at the end of the bench for Portland, where he was MVP in 77 and won the championship.
Pete is in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, two things on Kyrie. First thing is with Anthony Davis coming in, possibly, don't you think it's more likely that Kyrie would only be coming back on a one-year deal because Davis would be on a one-year deal? Why would he commit 5 years if after 1 year it could just everything could go to heck, you know, it could go downhill? And the other thing on Kyrie is I'm not convinced this guy knows where he wants to go. Even on July 1st, this guy is a complete free bird. I mean, I really don't think he's going to know. And the Celtics are just in a real tough situation with this guy. I mean, I hope he comes back, but it's going to be complicated.
All good points. Can't dispute any of that. I mean, and who knows? Again, you can't really apply logic or, you know, cause and effect with Kyrie Irving. That's why I sit here and say it's either the Knicks or the Celtics. And that's it. The fact that these other teams have disincentives now, I don't think he goes where he wants to go. He's going to lose money if he leaves here. We know he's a little bit, you know, different kind of thinker. He likes being known as that. I can see him going to the Knicks.
You think they started this yet?
Yeah, isn't there this? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Like Danny, like we talk about, okay, Wick's like, well, we wait, process, we'll wait and see. Like, they're going to be all over this already, right?
Yeah.
It's like, Danny just can't wait and sit there, arms crossed, because you could get skunked here.
Right. Mike Zarin did say they're waiting for him to get back from his vacation. He went away somewhere. So
I'd send somebody on his vacation.
I wouldn't do that.
No.
Well, then you're being rude.
Yeah.
But as soon as that vacation's over, I'd sit at his front door.
The population in Thailand is 63 million people.
I don't know if he's in Thailand.
I don't know if that's
I get
it
somebody.
It's twice the size of Wyoming.
I don't know if that's where
such
he
a
is.
Good role for him.
I don't know. If that's
he could never like he did that one movie. What was it? Wasn't Due Date with Morton Downey or what's his name from Iron Man?
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
What was the name of the movie he did with him where they went cross country in a car and missed a flight?
I don't know.
Was it like Due Date or Rain Date or something?
You know, as they keep saying,
you can't do another role other than Alan.
Yeah,
it's hard.
It's like the only role he could play is himself.
Yeah. It's like Will Ferrell. Like, you get cast. Yep. You can't do anything serious after that, you know?
Yeah. It's going to be a while. Before Zach Galifianakis can,
Galifianakis plays himself in everything.
Each year, approximately 13,000 people are killed in car accidents in Thailand.
Why is he laughing?
He thinks it's funny. He's like, so stupid.
I would say, you know, like Vince Vaughn is like that. Vince Vaughn plays Vince Vaughn in everything he's in.
Yes. Oh, my God, after Swingers. He was the same in a breakup, though.
Vince Vaughn plays Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
That's a great character.
Great, it's great. Yeah. I mean, but it has a shelf life.
Seth Rogen.
Same yes. Thing.
Yes.
Oh, another good guy. One. Seth Rogen plays Seth Rogen.
Same guy.
Yep.
That's what he is.
Yep.
Now I forget what I was going to say. Oh, so on Kyrie, though, I could completely see him coming back to the Celtics and all of this and pretending like nothing had happened.
Well, that would be good.
Couldn't you see that with him?
Sure.
You know, as they say with him, he's mercurial. Yes. That's who he is.
Mm. Well, you
know, he's subject to mood swings.
He should pretend nothing happened.
And he'll come back. I could see this happening where he walks back to the Celtics, signs the contract, and then complains about everybody who suggested that he may not have been coming back.
It was the media.
What do you mean? Weren't you at the season ticket holder thing in October?
Can't you like envision that happening?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you mean? I said I was coming back, and then because I didn't want to answer the questions all year, you guys speculated that I wasn't coming back? How dare you?
That's on you.
That's on you. I didn't say I wasn't coming back. I never said I wasn't coming back. Oh, all that media crap, that media creation. You guys read into a conversation I had with my friend at the All-Star game. You said I wasn't coming back. Who said I was going to New York? I never said I was going to New York. That's all you guys. You guys created that. I can absolutely see that happening. And that's great. I hope that's how it plays out. But that is not...
Oh, that's a very good
It's not unreasonable to think that that could possibly happen here.
Sure.
Where he walks right back into TD Garden and signs his contract and says, of course I was coming back. Max Steele, I was always staying. What are you guys talking about? When was this in doubt? And the Celtics play it off the same way. Wick, yeah, of course we wanted him, guys. But I wasn't going to get into that, you know, back and forth on Felger and Mass. I mean, that I don't talk about our impending free agents. I don't do that. I never have. Never will.
I have a tampering question.
Yes.
If the Knicks, would you be allowed to like start printing Durant and Irving jerseys?
Yes.
Can you do that?
What do you mean?
What, if they sign?
No, before. Like now.
Like if they were to produce them and sell them?
God, yes.
No, that I don't think that they're not allowed to do
I would say that's tampering.
Just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, if on the team site, yes.
Just in the team store. You
feels
know.
Tampery.
Yeah, I guess. Could be some other guy named Irving or Durant.
I was for Julius.
You should find guys with that name and sign them.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls on the Patriots items of the day. Kyrie Irving. Also, tip to tail, Bruce Cassidy has some comments today about what the Bruins will be doing on Thursday night. We've got the details of that, how you can get to the Garden to watch the Bruins on Thursday night. And he'll tell you exactly what the Bruins will be trying to accomplish on Thursday night as they prepare for the Stanley Cup Finals, which begin next Monday night. We'll get to that and tell you the details of it coming up next. And, of course, Dan's dates at 12:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
A scrimmage on Thursday night at TD Garden, and fans are invited. Intra-squad scrimmage happening this Thursday night. It will begin at 7 p.m. They will have two 25-minute periods. It is open to the general public, and the tickets will go on sale today at the Bruins website starting at 3 p.m. That's tickets good. Are $20. $20 and parking at the North Station Garage will only be $10 for the event. The tickets are available online only. They are not for resale. They are first come, first serve. Limit of 4 tickets per customer. Members of the Boston Garden Society will get information on their ticket packages, and season ticket holders will be able to buy the tickets for $10 each. Again, the tickets go on sale today, starting at 3 p.m. All of the money, the net proceeds from the night, will go to the Boston Bruins Foundation. So they are putting on the event with the money going to charity, and you will have a chance to see the Bruins hold their scrimmage in preparation of the Stanley Cup Final Thursday night, 7 p.m. at the Garden. They're going to try and simulate a game situation due to the long layoff.
This is great. This opens it up for all the townies. You know, you go in, have a good time, hang out at the Garden, check the bees out. Maybe do some pre-planning for next week as to the location where Felger and Amonte will be at. Because you told me we don't do this stuff, round one, round two, Eastern Conference Finals. No, you wait for the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup Final is here next week. So it's go time for you people. You have to get Felger.
This is announced earlier today, and Bruce Cassidy spoke about it and talked about what the team is going to try and achieve by holding this scrimmage and getting ready for the game on Monday.
trying to simulate a game situation, going to the rink, preparing for a game day. Listen, I don't know at the end of the day how everyone's going to play out until game one happens. We had some ideas we bandied around and came up with this one. I think it'll be live to a certain extent. We'll obviously talk to the players about the physicality part. We're looking for compete, and we're looking for pace. We're not looking for guys to blow each other up, sort of start getting back into it. We've had good practices, but this will just be a little bit different. Look at some different scenarios in-game, so it'll be controlled in terms of power play. Could be a 6-on-5 to end the game or scrimmage, no matter what the score is. 4-on-4 play. We'll try to come up with some different things that keep the players sharp. That's the thinking behind it.
Okay. This is verbatim Bill Belichick. This is season ticket holder practice. This is controlled. We're going to do inside the 25. We're going to control the tempo. We don't want contact. We'll put red jerseys on the quarterbacks. We're going to do a blitz period. We're going to do red zone. We're going to do goal line. We are trying to simulate as much of a game experience. Patriots do this before the first, first home preseason game, so that the kids, the new ones, these rookies, get the gist of the stadium. You get the feel for it.
What if they'll have Todd Angeli sing the anthem?
I hope so.
That'd be good.
The big
right?
kid?
I hope
get back
so.
Upstairs and pour some beers?
He's the best.
That'd be good. Be a good way to simulate the game experience.
I thought Bear Force One was coming in for it next week.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
Get a flag bearer. The whole thing.
I bet Blades will be there. Yeah. Bear, yeah. Get him all wrapped up. Yeah, he's got it's playoffs, man.
So, again, tickets today, 3 p.m. Thursday night is the night for the scrimmage for the Bruins to get ready for the Stanley Cup beginning on Monday. Extended rest, obviously something we've talked about all week long as the Bruins get ready. You worried about the extended rest, Dan?
Well, if St. Louis wins tonight, it's basically the same thing. I mean, really, they did have 6 days going into it. I'm not too worried about it. I know with the goalie, hey, I was in Carolina. You wanted them to play 2 days after that last game. I mean, it was so locked in, everything the way it was going. It doesn't happen. We know the teams that have swept have had trouble in the next round, losing. But in my view, it's such a long layoff that St. Louis winning tonight, almost the same effect for them.
We've got some numbers on Tuukka Rask on extended rest. I don't know who compiled these. These were in our notes today. T-Bone, did you look all this up?
Yes.
Good work,
yeah.
Dude.
Talked about this.
Good work. Later. Tom Morgan went back and looked up Tuukka Rask on extended rest starts that are 6 or more days apart. At Ottawa, a win, 38 saves on 39 shots. Are these all this year? All just this season? Against Dallas, a win, 24 saves on 25 shots. At Dallas, an overtime loss, 36 saves on 37 shots. That was the first game after his leave of absence for reasons that are unknown. 7 days off for a loss at Carolina, 32 saves on 37 shots. 6 days off at Buffalo, a win, 26 saves on 28 shots. And 12 days off before facing Philadelphia at home, another overtime loss, 38 saves on 41 shots. That leaves him with a record this year on extended rest, 6 days or more between starts, 3-1-2 with a .937 save percentage. Not bad.
Yeah, there's nothing that says this tilts the scales one way or another. Pretty damn solid.
And by the way, that only impacts you game one. Once game one happens, the extended rest thing is out the window.
Well, say the Blues get it tonight, right? You get 6 days. So what's the big difference between really 6 days and 10? So you're kind of on the same
page.
That's
Dan's point.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So does that mean we're rooting for St. Louis tonight?
No, we are not.
Push it.
Why is that?
Because we would then have to go to St. Louis.
Oh, so you're rooting for your travel schedule?
Did you hear this yesterday? Felger with the line of the year.
I hate St. Louis.
Line of the year.
Line of the year. You know what Murray's rooting for? Based on the type of restaurants and food that they want. Because the afternoon show is probably going to head wherever they go. That's what they do. Felger asked him, like, well, how do you know about St. Louis? He goes, well, I went on a vacation there. Felger goes, what? Albany was all booked?
Albany was all booked up?
Said, hey, I want to go to St. Louis. Let's see the arch.
People are nice, but it's dreadful.
Sucks.
Yeah, it's a herd.
Crap town.
So you don't want to go to St. Louis?
Yeah. No.
You'd rather sit on a plane for 6 hours.
You know, I heard you yesterday in this. This is like not logical on your part. Mm. So you're on the plane an extra 2.5 hours, whatever, but then you're 5 days in the destination. So you would rather like have a short flight to Buffalo than...
You're a West Coast guy. I know that.
Than go to Miami or somewhere where it's a longer flight.
Yeah.
You got to be there for 5 days.
I would rather go to Miami than I would...
Buffalo? Shorter flight?
Yeah.
Shorter flight?
Buffalo, I do like, though.
Well, anyway.
And Beetle knows about this. Beetle went to the hockey Final Four.
Dan, if you...
In and out.
Yeah, less than 24 hours. I was there 22 hours.
Best steakhouse,
If
too.
You were to go to San Jose, you would stay in San Fran?
Possibly. It would be open to you, and during the days off, it's there. And you're not in St. Louis. All better.
St. Louis.
It
stinks.
Really dreadful.
See, you know what it is for you? You got conditioned by the Red Sox West Coast trips.
Yes.
Like you kind of package that. That's the norm for you.
No, long flights, that doesn't, you know. Vancouver was hard, and they were the road team. We had to go there 3 times. Game 5, we were in Vancouver less time than it took to get there.
I remember Goshen Beers bitching about that because they don't fly with the team in the playoffs.
Game 6. Right? Oh. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, you ready for today's dates?
I am.
All right, let's do it. Coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Today is May 21st, and it is time for Dan's Dates.
May 21st. People who were born on this day. Ron Isley of the Isley Brothers. 78 years old.
Okay.
Isley's a big ice cream place in Pittsburgh.
You don't know that? No.
They got the Chip Chop Ham there and everything? Yeah. Isley's. Mm.
What's the Fun World there?
Oh, Kennywood.
Kennywood, yeah.
Guess what? They have the Thunderbolt, the base, they have that potato patch, the boardwalk fries.
Right.
Big, big story in Pittsburgh. They've changed the cheese sauce. They cheapened out. Went with some cheap sauce.
Big mistake.
People are pissed.
Yeah, you can't do that. No, Kennywood, very famous.
Can't fool the hunkies in Pittsburgh, Dan. You know that.
No, thank you. Leo Sayer is 71 today. Senator Al Franken.
What did he sing?
He sang a stupid song.
It was
a one-hit wonder.
You Make Me Feel Like Dancing.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Al Franken, how old do you think he is?
68.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's pretty good, Hardy.
Leo Sayer, by the way, Elvis was a big fan of Leo Sayer. I read this morning.
Didn't he sing Sad Eyes, too? Didn't he sing Sad Eyes?
I don't know if it was a falsetto voice, but really, really high voice. How does
Sad Eyes go?
Sad Eyes.
Yeah. You knew me other way.
No, that's another guy. Robert something.
Goodbye.
It's not. It's Robert something that sings that one.
Sounds just like
Leo Sayer has an impossibly high voice.
Very high.
This guy does, too.
Yeah.
Huh. Robert John, Jim tells me, sings Sad Eyes. I knew it was Robert something. Yeah.
Jim knows everything.
How old do you guys think Mr. T is today?
Oh, you pity the fool.
It's his birthday.
61.
Beatles?
58.
I'm going to go 65.
He's 67.
Hey,
so
fool.
He beat all you guys, yeah.
Hey, woman.
Mr. T, pretty good. Judge Reinhold is 62, the actor. Yeah. Stuff that happened on May 21. Stuff. Clara Barton founded the American Red Cross
awesome.
In 1881. Very good. Biggie, 1927, Charles A. Lindbergh landed his Spirit of St. Louis monoplane near Paris, completing the first
Biggie Smalls thing.
Solo transatlantic flight in 33.5 hours.
Good guy, that Charles Lindbergh.
came back across the pond, ticker tape parade, very big canyon of heroes.
Other than the anti-Semitism and his whole secret family that he kept in Europe, different wife, different kids.
Lucky Lindy.
Lucky Lindy. The story of that, though, isn't that Bill Bryson book, like the summer of, when did he do that? Summer of what?
27.
Okay, so I think there's a whole book like Summer of 27, about the crazy summer of 27 in the United States. Like, talk about somebody who had no business doing anything. You guys were talking about the moon landing, off the air.
We were.
Charles Lindbergh had no business flying that plane across the Atlantic. He did it with a map.
Yeah.
like spread across his lap.
Supposed to be going east. Yeah.
You know, like lighting a match. To see, like,
at what point don't you get nervous?
A map of what? Just water?
Says I'm still heading east.
Like, but he made it.
Yeah. He was a hero. Hero.
Where do you land that thing when you get over there?
And apparently, like, whenever he'd show up for these ticker tape parades and stuff, he didn't know how to act. He was he was a complete basket case. Like, who knows? Who knows how he got to do what he did and be, reportedly such a bad guy, too. But there you go. Lucky, Lindy.
Well, oddly enough, 5 years later, Amelia Earhart became the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic, and she landed in Northern Ireland 15 hours after leaving Newfoundland.
Also no business flying a plane.
Well,
that was a PR stunt. Hey, let's get a woman to fly a plane. Amelia, you want to?
And okay. Beetle, you should know this. I believe her sister resided in Squanum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to write letters to the Globe.
We've talked about that one.
Yeah.
In case she's still there.
No. She's not. She's not. She's since passed.
I'm saying my apologies to your sister, but it's not like she grew up with a love of airplanes. It was, didn't like some newspaper guy.
It was Bob Ryan back in the day when people read newspapers.
I thought you meant Bob Ryan sought her out.
No, yeah.
I'm going to have a story.
He had a not complimentary Amelia Earhart reference in a Red Sox column. That if you wanted to, it was basically how to clean up the bullpen by taking Diego Segui and Reggie Cleveland and putting them on a transatlantic flight with Amelia Earhart at the controls. And the sister in Squanum did not approve.
She didn't appreciate that one.
I can see that.
Bob was arguing statute of limitations on grief. But it was not a starter in Squanum.
He basically wrote back, not too soon, Bob Ryan.
Good. So we apologize to all the descendants of the Earharts in Squanum over there.
Yep.
On this date, May 21 in 1945, Humphrey Bogart married Lauren Bacall. What do you think their respective ages were?
Ah, Bogey and Bacall.
Bogey was
no idea.
Bogey was 104 and Lauren Bacall was 8.
It's like Bogey and Bacall.
It was Bogey's fourth marriage. He was 45. It was Bacall's first marriage. He was 20. And they, until death do you
part. They'd have a lot of common, huh?
He died in 57 and she never remarried. Lauren Bacall. True love. On this date in 1972, Michelangelo's Pietà on display at the Vatican was damaged by a hammer-wielding man who was shouting that he was Jesus Christ. That was in 72.
But he wasn't.
Guy came in with a hammer.
Sure.
You know, it'd be hard to get to those things.
Let me see your hands.
Much better protected.
Let me see your hands.
So that's not bad. Nobody else laughed.
Well, the wrists, actually.
In 1991, former Indian Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi was assassinated during national elections by a suicide bomber, 1991.
It's a bad one.
Is he related to Mahatma Gandhi?
No one knows.
How many Gandhis are there?
It's been debated by scholars for many, many years.
I don't know.
No, you just, you're all just making, you guys
have
no
idea. I don't know. I just say no one knows.
Well, Gandhi was born on October 2nd, but I don't know when this guy was born.
No idea. You
know, or whether he was relations. The first person to die under the Washington State's new assisted suicide law was in 2009. 66-year-old woman in Washington State. Last year, Zoe, this one's for you because you made a reference to popsicles earlier on. It was a Tommy Boy reference?
Yeah, exactly. He could sell you a ketchup popsicle, the guy in white gloves. Yeah.
I didn't know that
one. You ever stick your head up a butcher's ass then?
No. I hope that didn't
see
make it.
See a T-bone steak? Show you. You can take the butcher's word for it.
But last year, the Postal Service announced it would soon issue its first scratch and sniff stamps featuring illustrations of ice pops. Has that been issued?
I was going to say, have they done that?
It was a year ago. They pledged to do it.
I haven't heard it. My kids dig the popsicles.
We can only hope.
Beetle, your kids like popsicles, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But two of the coolest things when we were kids, especially Hardy and our age, remember when the markers had the sniff markers?
Oh, yeah.
The lemon one, you could, God. Yeah. The cherry.
The black ones.
And also the scratch and sniff little round stickers. They were like
furry.
Yeah,
that's how they used to teach you to sniff glue. Yeah. That's how you started with the markers.
Then you get the skunk one, and you get the garlic, and ooh, you don't want to scratch and sniff that.
Beetle, that's all I got.
I've got some odd ones. Number one, before we get to a lot of music stuff from today, in the year 2000, former President James Garfield's spine was put on display.
I saw this one.
At the final day at the National Museum of Health and Medicine in Washington, D.C.
Why?
The exhibit featured medical oddities from the museum's archives. His spine is not the only presidential body part to have been an item of interest at the museum. The museum also owns some of Lincoln's skull fragments and President Eisenhower's gallstones.
I don't think I want to look at any of those
A museum
things.
In Philadelphia keeps a tumor removed from President Grover Cleveland.
That I would look at.
John F. Kennedy's brain, which was removed during his autopsy after his assassination in 63, disappeared and has never been found. How bizarre is that? Here's some stuff you would be interested in. All in the Department of Music, Dan. May 21st, 1970, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young released their protest single, Ohio, written and composed by Neil Young, of course, in reaction to the Kent State shootings of May 4th of that same year.
It was quick turnaround.
Imagine that. They wrote that in a couple of weeks.
Never happened now.
Boom. Out. Released.
Released.
A couple of weeks later. 1971 on this date, Marvin Gaye released his 11th studio album, and obviously one of the more famous ones. The famous one, What's Going On?
Ooh, big.
Which Berry Gordy, the head of Motown, was against. Didn't want him to do. He did it anyway. He fought for it. He put it out. 1972, the notorious B.I.G., a.k.a. Christopher Wallace, was born on this day in Brooklyn, New York. He would have been 47 today.
Do you know who that is, Dan?
Notorious B.I.G. He dressed in all white, right?
Yeah, great.
Sometimes.
My favorite song, Give Me the Loot.
I'm sure he had a white outfit or two.
1977, Stevie Wonder hit number one with Sir Duke.
Oh!
A tribute to Duke Ellington, who died in 1974.
Chicken noodle soup, y'all.
It's right up your alley,
Harvey. Jam.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
This is good. Well, I'm off the clock. I got to go.
And one more. 1983 on this date, David Bowie hit number one with his song, Let's Dance.
Put on your red shoes.
What happened to Sir Duke?
Oh, Zone knows this one.
It's good, Bowie. Sir Duke is so much better than this.
See, Dan? Door hitting the ass.
You know the words to this one, Zoe?
Yeah.
Put on your red shoes and dance the blues.
He just did it. Can't believe we turned off Sir Duke for this.
I like this song. I put this on playlist.
Pool playlist for the summer?
That's a pool playlist.
Yeah.
On the radio. Yeah.
While color lights up your face.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.